For that beautiful hymn, that song, called to God's Amazing Grace. This morning we're going to be looking into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as I begin to study for this particular message and thinking about the things that we should be thankful for in our life to God, and that is, I thought, well, God's comfort. As I began to read 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, I thought, oh, that's a good place to start for this Thanksgiving season that's coming up. And as I got on into my study on this particular passage of Scripture, I thought, well, there's 2 points there, but I just want to cover the first one this morning, which is the God of all comfort. And then next Sunday, I will finish with the suffering's intended results of God's comfort. So, you know, I'm thinking about Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. And the last 2 years, our country and our nation and the world has gone through some traumatic experiences with different types of illnesses and so forth like that. And sometimes we think, oh, how hard, how difficult and things are in this life. But when I think on the other side of that, I think, well, thank God for His comfort. Thank God for His amazing grace that the choir just sang. So that is my thanksgiving, my praise to God for the comfort He gives us in our lives when we go to Him. So what I want to do is read verses 3 through 7, but I'm just going to talk about verse 3 and 4 this morning and then conclude next Sunday with 5 through 7. So if you will take your Bibles and look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. And Paul begins with grace, all because of God's amazing grace. There we go. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelations of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are some good words. Those are some good words of comfort from Paul to the church at Corinth. So when we think about God's comfort, one of the many, I would say, paradox of the Christian life is that the grace of God is most strongly experienced not in the best times, but in what seems to be the worst of times. That's when we often go to the Lord the most, or we seek His comfort the most, when things are not good. But He likes for us to come to Him in the good times, in the best times as well. So much of the Christian life longs for exhortation, and it is when He humbles, He receives. When we humble ourselves, we receive. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul shares about the comfort that we receive, and also Peter chapter 5 verse 5 and James 4 6 tells us that God gives us comfort in those difficult times in life. And that's when we should say thank you, Lord. Thank you from the bottom of our heart for how you come to our aid and how you help us. And so Paul urges all sorrowful and troubled hearts to find strength in God right here. That's what he is telling us to do. And Paul knew that God bestows comfort, for he had been a recipient of all different types of afflictions in his life. And if you read his biography, and I call it his biography or autobiography, he talks about all of the things that he went through in life, and yet he found content. He found content. He said, I find joy because I know I wasn't alone, because the Lord was with me. Shipwrecked, beaten, thrown out of town, left for dead, illnesses and sickness, and then he had the thorn in the flesh, and we don't know for sure what that was, but he prayed for it to be gone, but it wasn't. God said, my grace is sufficient to you. And Paul said, well, you know, when I think about it, when I'm weak, I'm strong in you. So he thought, well, I can minister or do much more for you if I don't have these things hanging on me and slowing me down like this thorn in the flesh. And God said, you can do it, Paul, not on your own, but by me. And so Paul gave God praises for that. So when we or Christians experience afflictions, we find God's comfort, which enables us to comfort others. And that's very important. That's an important statement I want to pass along to you. When we find comfort, it's like we pass that on to others so they will find that as well. It's like one beggar finding food, he goes tell somebody else where they can find it as well. And when we find comfort and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, we certainly want other people to know who are going through similar situations. So let's look, first of all, the God of all comfort, verses 3 and 4. And I want to say with this, with a burst of praise, that's what Paul is doing. I mean, he's excited. He, with a burst of praise to God for comforting and encouraging Paul, he begins his letter here in verse 3. I'm going to read that again, and it goes like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of all comfort. Now, he didn't say just some comfort or little comfort when I need it, but he says all comfort, because all good things come from God. And we need to stop and think about that sometimes when we are going through difficult times and not understanding why and the reasons and so forth. But Paul says all comfort. So if we want all comfort, then we go to God. If we just want a little comfort, then we just depend upon ourselves or our circumstances, and that's going to weigh you down. But with all comfort coming in all directions in our life from God, then see, that's what sustains us. That's what gives us that energy and the strength to keep on persevering even in the difficult of times. And that's what Paul did, and that's what we all need to do. And we've all gone through those tough times. I would say myself, 2021 had been a good year for me, and I'm not trying to have a pity party, but it's been a difficult time. But my strength, as you know, through various situations, through loss of loved ones, through sicknesses and hardships and things like that, we can't get through it without God's comfort, without his amazing grace. That's why we stand as we stand as Christians, and we stand strong because we know that he's going to provide everything that we need. So Paul wasn't blessing God because of his difficult circumstances, but was blessing God because he is worthy to be praised even in those difficult situations. That's why Paul says he is even worthy to do that, to get me through it. So this word blessed is used in the New Testament only of God. The word blessed is only used here in the New Testament of God. Blessed is an expression of the highest esteem and the ultimate thanksgiving that we can give to God. You think about it. That's the way Paul sees it, and that's the way that we ought to see it as well. So Paul uses three titles or names to address his blessing to God. See, we say blessing to God. God blesses us. We say blessing to you, God. You ultimately deserve it. So the first is that God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first blessing. That's the first title of the blessings to God. And Paul points it out. And it's right there in verse 3 when he says, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can thank the Heavenly Father for sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth, because what a blessing it was. And it is today, because God the Father did send his only begotten Son into this world to bring comfort and peace and provide salvation for each one of us. And then when he told the disciples, I must go back to the Father, I've accomplished, I've completed everything he sent me here for, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and he will continue the work that I have started and completed here, but he will continue on in your lives. So we recognize that, and the disciples eventually recognize that themselves as the Holy Spirit began his great work in their lives. Secondly, he addressed as the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. You know, God has mercy on us. You know, we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. And we experience it. And mercy here, meaning to pity or a feeling of compassion that goes out in seeing another's grief. So God sees our grief, and he gives us mercy or shows pity upon us or compassion. And one example of that I recall in the Bible is in John chapter 11, where Lazarus had died, seemingly, and Martha and Mary ran after Jesus, or Martha first, and said, Jesus, if you had only been here, our brother Lazarus would have lived. And Mary did the same thing. And of course, Jesus gave them comfort and said, well, your brother liveth. He lives. He's not dead. And then when Jesus went into the city and he saw all the people, he showed pity upon them because they were remorse, because they were there for the family. They were there to support and give their help in a time that Mary and Martha really needed it. And Jesus, in verse 35 of John chapter 11, said, he wept. He showed compassion. So you see the comfort that brings. You know, when you see others around you showing compassion of that nature, it gives you comfort. See, not only does it help you, but it helps others to see, okay, you're strong in your faith. And that's what helps other people to get through. Not only seeing your comfort or your strength, but seeing that you are strong in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at the third title for the blessings to God, which says, God of all, of everything comfort. God of all comfort. So Paul lists all of those titles right here in verse 3. And the Greek word for literally meaning to call alongside or to be close. It means you are there. He is here. No matter where we are, he goes with us. So that's what the title, third title of God, to blessings to God, is about. So it has the ideal of standing beside a person to encourage while you are going through testing in your life. The same word is used by Jesus to describe the Holy Spirit as a comforter or the paraclete, as in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, chapter 16, verse 7, meaning one who stands alongside and helps, okay? So, someone that you can't, something you can't do, someone comes alongside and they help you accomplish that or do that. That's what Christ does for us. Now, you never know when you'll need the Lord's comfort the most. You never know until you go through particular situations or circumstances in life. For there will be a time when God's care will be your hope only for facing tomorrow. I remember reading a story some time ago about a man named Thomas Dorsey. And if you look in your hymn books, you'll see his name mentioned, Thomas Dorsey. And the reason I mention him is because he was a singer, songwriter, and he played the piano. He played instruments and so forth. And he felt in his life at some point in time he needed a special comfort from God. He needed that. So he got an invitation to come to, he lived in Chicago, but he got an invitation to go to St. Louis to sing at a revival. Well, his wife, Nettie, was expecting a child at that time, so he wasn't sure if he needed to go and leave her alone or go and find that comfort he was seeking in his own personal spiritual life. Well, he got in his Model A. How many of you remember the Model A's? He got in his Model A and he taxied on down to St. Louis. And he sang in this revival and he played. And he found such of a peace and comfort that he was looking for, that he was giving back to the Lord what God had given him through his talents and so forth. So he found that peace. He found that comfort in that setting, in that revival, and the congregation of people was just ecstatic. They was just enthusiastic about him coming and singing and playing for them. At the end of that revival, he got a telegram saying that his wife, Nettie, had died giving birth. And a few hours later, his son also died. And at that point, you know, his heart just sunk. And thinking, Lord, should I have come to St. Louis? Should I have stayed home with Natty and been with her because she really would have needed me there? So he was going through all of these scenarios and said, God, what injustice do I deserve for this? And with his talents and his faith in God, he went to the piano. He began to just play because that brought him so much comfort, doesn't it, Sandy? Sandy knows, and all you that play pianos and instruments, you find a certain comfort of the talent and the gift that God has given you to use for his honor and glory. So he began to play. And it wasn't long that he started writing down some lyrics as he began to play a song. And you remember this song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, Lead Me On, Let Me Stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn, even through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. There he found his comfort, knowing that God was with him. And God used him mightily. You see, Thomas Dorsey was a great songwriter, pianist, musician. And he himself, you know, found that comfort where he could not find it anywhere else. He found it because that's why Paul says, God of all comfort. God is of all comfort. So Paul also found true comfort in God. You will too. I will too. Everyone who goes to God will find that comfort that Paul is talking about. So as you go through difficult times, real storms, and Dorsey went through a real storm there, vast challenges, you will find, even as Paul found, that God is a God of all comfort. And you will discover that he is a father of mercy, and you will find comfort in him. Precious Lord, lead me home. All right, let's look at verse 4. Verse 4. If I can find it, there it is. Here, verse 4 states that we have been graced and encouraged in comfort so that we might encourage others with this same comfort. So, verse 4 says, who comforts? Or another word I can insert there as comfort is encourages us in all afflictions. And afflictions can be translated also in that Greek form as tribulations, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in affliction with a comfort, and comfort again, encouragement, with which we ourselves are comforted or encouraged by God. Now you think of that. As you walk with God, you will understand what that comfort means. You will understand what that closeness is with God when you walk with him. And you even in your difficult times. See, it's just not in the difficult times, but it's in our best times of life that we know that God's comfort is always there waiting for us to call on him. So this passage right here explains to us that the degree that we can comfort others is the degree that we have been comforted ourselves. So it's a two-way, street. You get comforted, and then others, you know, you come alongside, get comforted as well. See, that's what's so important about the fellowship of the church. See, it's like a big fireplace with coals on it, all mounted up, and they're burning and they're hot. And you take a tong and you take one of those coals and you set it aside, what's going to happen to it? It's going to go out. It's going to get cold. It will not feel the closeness and the heat and the fellowship that you have when you are among other believers of the faith. You see, that's what's so important about being in church and being with one another, so that we can be a comfort and we can be an encourager to one another. You know, that's why the writer of Hebrews 10:25, we talked about this Wednesday night, that forsake not yourself to assemble together as some have chosen to do, even more as you see the day of Christ coming. So it's important we have that fellowship with one another in Christ. So, see, God's faithfulness first at hand, that can minister to others through us, to others, and that gives them assurance that God is faithful to them as well. So, maybe it's why you've heard it said, experience is your best teacher. Experience is a good teacher. But that experience that we have, we're not alone. God is always with us. We learn the most from what affects us personally. That's what we learn, the things that affect us most personally. So in the Christian life, we may acquire some wisdom and some of success. But I would say, the deeper lessons we can learn in the school of tribulation and sorrow. It was once said, You will have no test of faith that will not fit you to be a blessing if you are obedient to the Lord. And the second part of that is, I never had a trial, but when I got out of the deep river, I found some poor pilgrim on the bank that I was able to help by that very same experience. You see how this fits together? See how scriptures come to our aid and instructs and helps us understand that God is a God of all comfort? Yes, He is. So in closing this morning, a lot of people, and I've talked to a lot of people over the years, my experience as a pastor or just experience as a Christian, that think when God comforts us, our troubles should go away. You know, that's easy to think about. That's easy, assume, but that's not always true. But if that were so, people would turn to God only out of the desire to relieve of pain and not of love for God. We don't do that just to be relieved, but it's because of our love of God that we endure. And see, we must understand that being comforted also means receiving strength, encouragement, and hope to deal with our troubles or hardships. So the more we suffer, the more God comforts us. If you are feeling overwhelmed this day, if you come in here just overwhelmed by your circumstance or by the hardships or the things that you've experienced, not only in the past but here recently or whatever, allow God to comfort you. Remember that every trial you endure will help you comfort others who are suffering similar troubles or hardships. Think about that. See, we're not in this alone. We're in this together. And this togetherness includes God. He's there for us. And if there's a problem too big for you to handle alone or a grief too great to bear, remember what verse 3 says. He's the God of all comfort. And then as Dorsey said, lead me home, precious Lord. That should bring comfort to you. It does me. We was talking Wednesday night in our studies and so forth, some of the greatest comfort and strength that I gain in my daily walk with the Lord is when I'm into the scriptures and reading scriptures just like this. So we have a tendency, just to forget, or we get, sidetracked or something, and think, we begin to have a pity party on ourselves or something, and then say, the scripture says right here is what I am to do. Give God the praise and give Him the glory, even through the things that we endure on a daily and weekly basis. So don't be despaired. Go to God. Go to His Word, and you'll find your strength. You'll find those little nuggets in there that is worth a lot more than the precious things or the things of this world. Because these are the things that will get you through this world into eternity. And one of these days, you'll see why. The things we go through on this earth will be worthwhile. Reason saying, to the comparison of what we receive as a blessing from God eternally. Let us pray. Father God, we come to You knowing that You are the God of all comfort. Lord, I thank You that as each and every one of us have entered this building this day, we all come in with, sometime we have a baggage of things thrown over our shoulders that we're dealing with. How in the world can I get rid of this? Well, the scripture tells us that you're the God of all comfort, no matter what it is. Coming to you doesn't mean we'll, and knowing you will rid us of all the circumstances and hardships in life, but it does bring us comfort knowing that, you know, you're right there with us. You'll get us through it. And Lord, those who suffer the most sometimes are those that don't know you and don't come to you. And Lord, that's where we step in. And when they see that we have that strength through the similar or the same situations, we're at peace with you. And that's where it all is. Lord, I thank you this morning that we can come to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have everything that we need. As David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, restores my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's it, right there. And whoever needs salvation today, Lord, I just pray that this be the day that they will take that step and know you as their personal Savior. Or if anyone here or anyone listening needs to renew their spirit, renew their relationship, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you will meet them right where they are, with unconditional love. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all comfort that comes from you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.